The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Let's do this. Let's go.
Here comes Hutchinson. Drops Thibodeau.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see that?
Move your feet. Don't stop. Let it loose. Raise the roof. Come on, prove what you can do.
Well, we've got just 6 days until the NFL draft, and we say hello. Welcome into NFL Live. Kelsey Riggs filling in for Laura Rutledge. And this time next week, there'll be a new number one pick. We will be just hours away from round two. The countdown is officially on. Jeff Darlington, Mel Kiper Jr., and a guy who knows all about what it feels like to wake up the next day as the number one pick, Keyshawn Johnson, with us. And guys, let's get right into it. Let's start talking about what you're looking for headed into this week's draft. Mel?
Kelsey, it's Jameson Williams. To see him back in the first round, to see him right now, maybe even in the middle of the first round, it's great for Jameson Williams. He would have been a top 10 pick guaranteed had it not been for the injury. His speed, how dynamic a performer he was in this one season for Nick Saban at Alabama. Great kid, hard worker, guy is a team kid all the way around. Will somebody trade up for Jameson Williams, Kelsey? That's what we're going to keep an eye on.
Malik Willis from Liberty, is he going to be a guy that goes six to Carolina, or will he fall to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Will the Pittsburgh Steelers come up and get him? This is an interesting one for me because in the offseason, he completely just took the league as the number one quarterback coming into this year's draft.
Gee, I'm most interested with the most intriguing prospect in this year's draft, and it's not a college player. It's Deebo Samuel. Where will he end up, and will he be traded, perhaps even on draft day? This is the one that I can't stop talking about. Where could Samuel end up? This is going to be quite the conundrum for the 49ers this coming week. They don't want to trade away Samuel, but they might feel the need to have to trade him away. At this point, this is when they could get the most value for him, so we'll find out if they can get the right offer to send Samuel to a new team.
We'll have more on Deebo later. Keyshawn, I know, has some thoughts on why they need to trade him and what's next for Jimmy G. But we move now to a quarterback who's apparently not going anywhere, and that's Arizona's Kyler Murray. His future with the Cardinals has been a hot topic since his agent released a statement last month about them seeking an extension. Now, Murray is eligible for it since he's on the final year of his rookie deal. The Cardinals could also pick up his fifth-year option until May 2nd. Here's GM Steve Keim.
There's been a lot of speculation out there, possibility of you guys trading Kyler. Can you rule that out?
Zero chance.
Steve, so you and Kyler have been in conversation like recently in the past week or so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I won't tell you what his wish list is, but he's got one.
So lots to unpack here. As you might remember, Kyler scrubbed his social media accounts of the Cardinals back in February. That raised some questions. But fast forward to yesterday, and Murray quieted some of the noise around his future when he said, quote, "I want to win Super Bowls with the Cardinals. Arizona is home." So, Jeff, sounds like they're back on the same page, at least for right now, because, you know, Keim, one of the things he said was a wish list for Kyler Murray. Now, that was in reference to the draft process. So, Jeff, what could Kyler possibly be asking for here?
Weapons, always. That's what every quarterback wants. And look, he actually has had input in the past that has resulted in Steve Keim pulling the trigger on a second-round pick who ended up being a wide receiver that Kyler Murray was comfortable with. So, of course, we don't know exactly who that would be, but I will say that I think it's pretty optimistic that Kyler and Keim are having these conversations about potential draft prospects. It makes me kind of take all of the bluster that we've heard the past several months and sort of the little bit of squabbling that we've heard and says, wait, if Kyler's talking to Keim about who he wants Keim to draft, I mean, that's a pretty good sign about the fact that Kyler wants to be with this team. So probably not that important, but still somewhat fascinating that Keim and Kyler are at least having some conversations the week before the draft.
And Jeff, you think about wide receiver they could be looking at in the first round. Treylon Burks from Arkansas would be one. Certainly Christian Watson from North Dakota State. This receiver group could provide the NFL draft first round with seven potentially. Vegas has it at 5.5. Caesars does right now. 6-7, very, very probable. And you think about cornerback as well. Andrew Booth Jr. is the fourth corner behind Sauce Gardner, Derek Stingley Jr., and Trent McDuffie. Andrew Booth Jr. out of Clemson had an inconsistent year, but he's got a ton of talent, and he'll come up and hit you. So he's got those aggressive qualities and the talent to be a first-round pick, but certainly wide receiver, that big receiver like Treylon Burks, who can play slot and wide, big, big target. Certainly has to keep that weight at a level where he's a receiver, not an H-back tight end, but I think that's about the vicinity where Treylon Burks, a wide receiver Arkansas, figures to come off the board.
You know what, Mel, guys, it's interesting to see exactly what that wish list could possibly be. I know we're thinking about the wide receiver position. Christian Kirk leaves and goes to Jacksonville in free agency, but you got to think A.J. Green signs back with them on a one-year deal. You got DeAndre Hopkins, you got Isabella, you got more. So when you think about the receiving position, yes, you always want to add a receiver to the mix, but I think this all started about the contract some time ago, a couple months ago at the end of the regular season. He certainly wanted a new contract based on the money that other people were getting out there. So Kyler Murray, to me, he's going to get a long-term deal. Football doesn't start till September. He is missing no time. April to September is a long ways away. They could get something done in the summertime. I just wish for him he would have waited a little bit longer to start to kind of, I don't want to call him whiny, but complain about getting his money, because look, they signed the head coach to extension. They signed the general manager to the extension. The next guy in line for big payday for Arizona is going to be the quarterback. Waiting is the best option for him because it looks bad on the surface. Given the fact that some things were coming out of the locker room from a negative standpoint, people are now looking at Kyler Murray and kind of scratching their head and saying, what message is he trying to send to the Arizona Cardinals? I know he put out that tweet saying, oh, I want to go to the Super Bowl. I want to win the Super Bowl. Arizona is my home. But every time you respond to something being said about you, it makes people wonder. Now I'm wondering, do you really want to be in Arizona? Is it really all about the money, or is it about being in control because you see other star quarterbacks getting a little bit of control?
Well, we know the offseason workouts right now are voluntary, but Key, as you said, you wonder just about how it affects that locker room. We'll see going forward. Kyler Murray, though, is the only player in NFL history with at least 70 touchdown passes and 20 rushing touchdowns in his first three seasons. So, Mel, let's switch gears a little bit. And since we're a week away from the NFL draft, we're going to get into some of your positional rankings throughout the show today. So let's start with the wide receivers. What do you have for us there?
Ever changed, Kelsey. Jameson Williams isn't number one like he really should have been had it not been for the injury, or could have been. And certainly you think about Drake London coming off the fractured ankle. So number one is Garrett Wilson from Ohio State. The body control, the ability to run any route necessary. Brian Hartline, a coach there, does a great job getting those receivers ready for the National Football League. He could go number eight to Atlanta. Be a great pick there for the Falcons. Marcus Mariota taking over a quarterback. They need wide receiver help. He would team up with Kyle Pitts, give them that passing game situation in terms of weapons that they really need. Then you look at the next receiver off the board could be Drake London from USC. Drake London, as I say, coming off the fractured ankle late October, but he brings the size, the physicality. I think the New York Jets at pick number 10 would be looking for their young quarterback, Zach Wilson. So Drake London, I think, drops to 10 because of the injury, not going through the process as clean as you would want, and it'd be a heck of a pick for the Jets. And Chris Olave, I'll put him in at 3. Jameson Williams, when I update the rankings on Wednesday, day before the draft, will be number 3. But right now, Chris Olave is 3. You know what you're getting, a professional ready to contribute as a rookie. The Philadelphia Eagles pick at 15, opposite Devontae Smith. He would look very good in an Eagles uniform. And Jameson Williams certainly would be a guy, if he's 3 and he's moved up that far, he's a guy you want to trade up for if you're Green Bay or you're Kansas City. And then I mentioned Treylon Burks from Arkansas, Christian Watson, North Dakota State. And you can't forget about Jahan Dotson from Penn State. And my underrated guy I've been talking about since October, Sky Moore out of Western Michigan. Also like Alec Pierce a lot coming out of Cincinnati. So the depth, Kelsey, at wide receiver is outstanding, although it doesn't match last year when we had the 3 big timers at the top. The depth overall is as good as it gets.
7 wide receivers going in the first round of your mock draft. That would tie the most in the common draft era. We will see what happens. And speaking of wide receivers, more on this Friday coming your way. The 49ers, they've got a tough decision to make on Deebo Samuel. Wanting out of the Bay Area, could a trade to San Francisco back in the first round? We'll see what happens in the NFL draft. More NFL Live after this. Plus, the Lions have 5 picks in the top 100 of this year's draft, so should they roll the dice With a new quarterback, one of our analysts thinks Detroit is better off with Jared Goff. And NFL Live is brought to you by Disney Planet Possible. Picture what's possible by sharing images that give you hope for our planet's future.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NFL Live. The NFL draft is less than a week away, April 28th, 29th, and 30th, and we will have every pick once again on ESPN along with our usual expert analysis. It's also available on NFL Network, and ABC's coverage focuses on the prospects' journey to the draft all 3 days. Also available on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Now, everybody's journey to the draft day, it's different. And for linebacker David Ojabo, it's been an unconventional one. Ojabo was overseas at home in Scotland, unable to return to the University of Michigan for months. He realized the game of football can be taken away quickly, and so he dialed in on every little detail of the game. It's a game that he only learned a few years before.
I was born in Nigeria, lived there till I was 7 years old. My dad's an engineer, my mom's a lawyer. So through my dad's job, we moved over to Scotland. I was playing soccer, basketball, and then when I was 15 years old, I had dreams of going to the next level in America. I was at Blair Academy. Those two sports didn't really work out as well as I thought it would. So, you know, I switched over to track and field. And ended up winning the 100-meter dash prep state title, which then led people to tell me to play football. Like any new sport, it was very difficult in the beginning to learn, but my first year, I earned 35 scholarships. We chose Michigan because, you know, it's the best of both worlds. You have the top education in the country and the biggest stadium in the country. Third year, I finally got to play, and on top of that, my parents got to come over and watch us beat Ohio State and go on to the Big Ten Championship and beat Iowa. I'm so grateful for my parents. They believed in me as a 15-year-old. They let me go, and they supported me. You know, I owe them everything.
Such an incredible journey, but now he's walking down another unexpected path. He suffered a torn Achilles at his pro day. Mel Kiper Jr. has him going 34th overall to the Lions, a team that has 5 picks in the top 100. Jared Goff, of course, considered to be their starting QB. But what will they get at quarterback in the draft? Here's Goff's thoughts on if they do go quarterback.
You know, whatever it is, I trust those guys. You know, they've expressed a lot of confidence in me, and feel good about where I'm at and where I'm at with them and where we're headed. I'm excited about it. But if anything were to happen there, no concern, and trust those guys upstairs. Yeah, I mean, I've always liked helping younger guys. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I've never been in that position, but I don't know. I'm sure I would be the same guy I am and be helpful if I felt like it.
So Jared Goff, Jeff, saying all the right things. Do you believe what he's saying?
I do. Jared's one of the most genuine people you will ever meet. And I don't think that he would treat any competition like that with animosity. That being said, I also sense when he says those things that he feels some level of comfort from the organization and maybe things that they've told him to instill some faith that he will be the starting quarterback this year. Things change, of course, but at this point, yeah, I do believe Jared, and I believe that he's very capable of handling that now that he's been in the league for this amount of time and really been through some rigors in that time. So I do believe him.
It's definitely been a journey for him to get to this point. Meanwhile, Mel, the Lions, they have 5 picks in the top 100, including the 2nd overall pick. So do they go quarterback, you think, at number 2?
I don't, Kelsey. Some think they will. I disagree. Malik Willis's name has come up for them, but I just think you go defense. You got a corner like Sauce Gardner. You got a defensive pass rusher on that side of the ball like Trayvon Walker, who you can move around, try to figure out where he's going to maximize that ability, or maybe even Kayvon Thibodeau. And then you go defense as well in the second, third rounds moving forward. You got that 32nd pick. That could be traded to somebody else, or if they feel like either Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati or Matt Corral from Ole Miss has a grade high enough to warrant being the 32nd pick, then you would do it. If you don't feel they're in that range to be that guy and have that higher grade, then you have to go defensive side of the ball.
I think in terms of what they need everything, right, Mel? They don't need a quarterback. They got a quarterback in Jared Goff. Jared Goff gets a bad rap because of the way it all ended in Los Angeles for him. He took a team to a Super Bowl, multiple playoff appearances, a Pro Bowl for whatever it's worth, $100 million contract. The Detroit Lions got a lot of draft picks. Use them to build the roster. A quarterback is the least of your worries, and I think they're smart enough to understand that and know that. Surround him with great talent. Give him an opportunity to succeed. We saw Matthew Stafford in Detroit. We saw Matthew Stafford in Los Angeles. We also saw Jared Goff take a team to a Super Bowl in Los Angeles when he had talent around him. So he can play. It would be a mistake to take any quarterback in this draft in the first round and replace Jared Goff, because Jared Goff, simply playing, is better than every quarterback in this draft right now.
Key, could disagree with you on that. I cannot disagree. I think the defense was historically bad, as you know, Key, and that's where you have to address. The second pick, if you can trade out, get more picks, fine. If you have to use that pick, use it on a defensive player. I think 32 could be a safety, maybe Lewis seen out of Georgia. At 34, I like David Ojabo. We talked about what talent he has off the edge as a pass rusher off the Achilles injury. He could still be there and probably will still be there. And I'm the Lions. I'm jumping at the opportunity to get a David Ojabo. So historically bad defense. I would address defense throughout this entire draft. Very little offensive help needed. I would go defense big time. I'd make 80 to 85% of this draft the defensive side of the ball from the Lions.
They had the 3rd fewest sacks in the NFL last season. They could definitely use a pass rusher. Mel, let's go back to another one of your positional rankings. And the hot topic, it's always quarterback. So what do you expect from the top quarterbacks in this year's class?
Well, Malik Willis, Kelsey, is the talk of the town right now. Where will he go? Will he go 6 to Carolina? Will he get down to 20 to Pittsburgh? Bottom line is, he's got the most talent of any quarterback in this draft. He's the one that excites the masses. He's the one that maybe you would fear coming into your division. The only one in this draft you would fear because of that rocket arm and because of that dual threat ability with his legs and the fact he's got incredible character. He edges out Kenny Pickett because of the upside that he brings to that position and the talent level, which is unmatched at that position in this draft. Kenny Pickett, 24 years of age when the season begins. We know about the starts, 49 at Pitt. We know about what he became this year, being coached tremendously well by Mark Whipple, now at Nebraska, was the quarterback coach and coordinator. Now, at 6 Carolina, does he get to 20? Does he drop down into the late first round? Kenny Pickett's going to be interesting to watch. I think 6 is too high. Then you go to the 3rd quarterback in Matt Corral from Ole Miss, the RPO quarterback, right? He's going to have to adjust in terms of trajectory of throws. Obviously, he can't take as many hits as he did with the frame not being Josh Allen-like. He's that borderline first. Some like him a lot. Some are lukewarm. The Lions we talked about maybe at 32, or somebody like Atlanta, Seattle trading back in to get him. And Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati would follow in at 4 as a borderline first, early second. Sam Howell, North Carolina. Carson Strong as well, batting for that 5th spot. And then Bailey Zip and Zappe from Western Kentucky had a heck of a year coming over from Houston Baptist. Zappe more of a day 3 pick. Strong a day 3 pick. Howell could be a 2nd or 3rd rounder.
No quarterbacks right now for you in the top 5. If that is the case, it would be the first time since 2013 where we don't see a quarterback come off the board in the top 5 picks. We will see. Still to come here on NFL Live, we are now less than 1 week away from the draft, and our crew ask Mel their burning questions about the most intriguing prospects in this year's class. That's ahead.
Ask Mel, a little game called Ask Matt.
Todd, let me ask you a question.
Mel know damn well every year I'm asking about an LSU guy.
Is there another option for the Jets at that pick?
Blown away by the fact that Keyshawn wanted a wide receiver.
USC.
Here's a guy you got to take the leap of faith with.
You have the Steelers there taking Malik Willis. How can he fill that void?
He's got a rocket arm. He's got that ability with his legs.
A 42-inch vertical jump. That's like jumping over me.
That's true, Matt.
So if you're looking for a quarterback to come in and start right away, yeah, he's your guy.
Let me ask you about real football, defense.
As you can tell, we're really excited to have Mel.
Keyshawn, Jeff, Mel, and Kelsey with you. And it is time where we get to ask Mel our burning questions heading into the draft. So, Key, start us off. What you got?
Mel, where are all the running backs at? I don't see very many on any boards of yours.
Well, it was in 1985. Key would have Breece Hall probably around 15 to 20, but it's 2023, and Breece Hall from Iowa State's now an early second. I think could be a great pick for the New York Jets. I tell you, he waits patiently, and then he explodes through the hole. He can catch the football out of the backfield. Blocking for these young running backs needs to be developed. But Breece Hall, I think, goes early second round at Tampa Bay, not brought back Leonard Fournette. They probably would have gone after him. Maybe Buffalo as well, possibly. But Kenneth Walker III has a second round grade. After that, James Cook from Georgia is more of an accent piece. He has a third, fourth round grade.
Mel, teams around the league are getting sticker shock when it comes to these wide receivers. Suddenly, the market exploding $25 to $30 million a year. And now maybe they look toward the draft to fill that need. Are there any number one wide receivers that can come out of this thing and be superstars right out of the gates?
Jameson Williams, Jeff, would have been that guy, but now you have to wait for him to be back 100% from the ACL. I'll go with Garrett Wilson. He's the cleanest through the draft process coming out of Ohio State. We know about Brian Hartline, what a great job he does coaching up these receivers. I don't think there probably will be a guy like that, like we saw last year with Chase and Smith and Waddle, but the closest one to that group and the wide receiver right now with the highest grade going into the draft is one Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, who figures to be a top 10 pick, possibly to the Atlanta Falcons.
Mel, there's only 32 spots, so somebody's always going to get left out. So who's the best player not on your big board for round one?
Kelsey, tight ends, for whatever reason, get lost in the shuffle come draft day. Think about where Kelsey went with the third round, Kittle day three, even Gronk went second round. Trey McBride from Colorado State, all this kid does is catch the football, battle for yards after the catch, and bring a great attitude and a professional approach to the job. He played on a bad team. He was a great player on a bad team at Colorado State, and he made his mark week in and week out against Iowa. He had 6 catches, 10 catches against Boise State. I love Trey McBride, and you probably will, like I talked about tight ends, getting lost, whatever reason, in the draft and dropping down further than they should. You may be able to get Trey McBride in the mid to late second or possibly even the third round area.
Mm-hmm. The Mackey Award winner for the best tight end in the country. We will see if he is the first tight end off of the board this year. But it's not just, guys, about where you go in the draft. It's about the moves teams make to get who and what they want. The Texans have the number 3 pick in this year's draft. Pretty desirable spot. And their GM, Nick Caserio, says he thinks it's one they'll stay in.
The reality is probably very few teams are going to want to come up to 3. I mean, just being honest. So, and that's okay. So probably pick at 3 and then 13, you know, could we go up? Could we go down? You know, I've talked to kind of, you know, I'd say over the next week or so, you're going to talk to different teams, just more about positioning, about what's their philosophy, what's their willingness to kind of move.
So Mel, is Caserio accurate, or are there any potential trades that we should be potentially monitoring at the top?
Well, yeah, those teams with the early picks. You have the Giants, obviously, with 5 and 7. You have the Eagles as well. And then you have Houston, Detroit, maybe looking to get out. But you have to have somebody that's really the team's willing to go up to get. Are you going to go up and get Sauce Gardner, the cornerback from Cincinnati, or one of the defensive linemen we talked about? Probably not. Are you going to get the quarterback? Unless you're the Steelers, and you may not even have that happen, probably not. So I really believe Sauce Gardner is the guy that is red hot right now. We know Aiden Hutchinson probably going number 1 overall. But I think these teams that are picking 2, 3, 4, probably going to get stuck there and have to make a pick, which, you know, whether it's Trayvon Walker, whether it's Kayvon Thibodeau, Sauce Gardner, one of the offensive linemen, these guys are going to have to figure out who they're going to take, probably make a pick, even though they would prefer to trade down.
Yeah, Mel, and based on the conversations I'm having, it feels like the real action could be at the end of the first round. I know the Chiefs, to a lot of teams around the league, are one of the more intriguing potential suitors for a trade partner. They've got 29 and 30 in the first round. They've got 2 picks in each of the first 4 rounds. They've got tied with Jacksonville for the most picks in the draft. And by the way, a roster that, while in need of a lot of different positions, has enough depth that they don't need all of the picks they have. So that's really where the action, in my opinion, will be. You're going to see a lot of phone calls to the Chiefs, try to maybe either get them to move up for a player that they might want or even down. But really, late in the round, we could see a lot of trades happening.
You know, when I look at this year's draft, I don't see all the richness that I've seen in the past with these particular players in this year's draft. Everybody, it feels like to me, is on even playing ground. This is the first time in many years that I've covered the draft, watched the draft, been a part of the draft, that I haven't heard franchise-changing player come out of Mel Kiper's mouth or potential Hall of Famer come out of Mel Kiper's mouth. So when you look at the evaluation process, you go back to 2021 in the spring, that's when that evaluation process starts. Mel Kiper puts out his next top 10, 15 for that year's draft right after the draft. And then all of a sudden that process goes into the summer. Then it goes into the fall. And then all of a sudden, the eyes of the people that are making the decision start to evaluate these players in late November, December. They finally get an opportunity to talk to them once their season is over. Because, guys, think about it. The one thing that these coaches and general managers do is they're concentrating on keeping their jobs. They're concentrating on making the playoffs, making their team better. When the season is over, the first time they get an opportunity to meet a player is at a Senior Bowl, at an All-Star game. Then all of a sudden it goes into the combine. Then the work, the private workouts leading up into the draft. Mel changes his board because he gets new information. Like every month is a different mock draft because he's getting the new information. The guy that was the top guy in the spring, is it the top guy come next spring, and it ends up being somebody different? So I think that is one of the main reasons you don't see people looking to jockey up to make major trades.
Key, that's exactly what I was going to say. These NFL teams, they might not really get to dive into it until the season wraps up. Mel Kiper Jr., our guy, stays busy all the time. So, Mel, let's dive more into some of your positional rankings. And there's some offensive tackles who could come in and make a big impact. Who do you have there?
They certainly could, Kelsey. And the Key's point about Ike Ekwonu, he wasn't considered to be this top guy back in August, September. And then all of a sudden he has the great year and he edges out Evan Neal, who back in August was the top guy. Ike Ekwonu, why is he way up there? Because of his pass protection skills. They improved by leaps and bounds. He was always a destroyer as a run blocker. I think he's the second best player in this draft. He probably would have gone to Jacksonville had they not franchised Cam Robinson. Then you think about where we are with Evan Neal, the second offensive tackle after Ike Ekwonu, has started at three different positions along the offensive line. So that's kind of the safety net for a bust. If you don't get it done at left tackle, you move to right tackle, or you can move inside the guard. I think he goes in the top 10, but I think Ike has edged him out. Evan Neal's versatility, though, a big plus, will keep him in the top 10. And Charles Cross from Mississippi State, stay in the SEC, pass protector supreme, a guy that throw the ball all over the yard. Charles Cross very rarely allowed a hurry or a sack. Does a great job keeping that frame between the defensive end and the quarterback. Run blocking skills improved just a bit. And I think when you look at Charles Cross, he's in that borderline top 10, maybe down to 13 area to the Houston Texans. And right there with Charles Cross is Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa. So it's kind of a battle between Penning and Cross to see who will be the third offensive tackle off the board. I'm going to edge it right now to Cross, give the edge to Cross. Penning, though, mid-first round. I think New Orleans, the Chargers, New Orleans 16, Chargers 17, right there looking at Penning. Tyler Smith, the developmental tackle, will be a good second-round pick. And Abraham Lucas is the consummate right tackle. He's a hole filler at right tackle immediately as a rookie. He should be a real good early to mid second-round draft choice.
So, Mel, that's two offensive tackles in your top 10, three in the top 13. There have been at least four offensive tackles drafted in the first round of each of the last 3 years. We'll see what happens this year. Meanwhile, where's your green, everybody? Today is Earth Day. That was a coincidence. I did not realize that. And what on the earth are the Cowboys doing in next week's draft? Jerry Jones wants to trade up, but how far up is America's team willing to go? That's next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back into NFL Live, and our action-packed April rolls on with these featured ESPN Plus events tomorrow. German Classico between Bayern and Dortmund. That's also on ABC. Tyson Fury, he puts his WBC heavyweight belt on the line against Dillon White at Wembley Stadium. ESPN Plus pay-per-view and the 120th annual Copa del Rey final between Real Betis and Valencia. Plus, we've got the much-anticipated series finale of Tom Brady's Man in the Arena. It drops Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. A little bit of everything for you this month on ESPN Plus. And we have just 6 days remaining until the NFL draft in Las Vegas. So let's dive into some of the key storylines from the NFC East, starting with the Commanders. They have the 11th overall pick in this year's draft. Mel Kiper has them selecting Notre Dame safety Kyle Hamilton. But Washington could also choose to add a wide receiver for their new quarterback, Carson Wentz. Plus, it's a pivotal draft for the new general manager, Joe Shane, and the Giants. They've got a prime opportunity to address needs on their offensive and defensive lines as they hold the 5th and 7th overall picks. And how about the Eagles? They traded one of their first-round picks to the Saints for future draft capital, but Philly still has 2 first-rounders. Mel Kiper has them taking Ohio State wideout Chris Olave and Georgia linebacker N'Kobe Dean. Then there's the Cowboys. They have the 24th overall pick. But could Dallas shake things up in the first round? Jerry Jones stated last week that he was open to trading up into the first round if the right player is available. And speaking of the Cowboys, after winning the division last season, they'll attempt to become the first team to repeat as NFC East champs since the Eagles won 4 straight division titles from 2001 to 2004. The division has gone 17 seasons without a repeat champ, the longest streak by any division since the merger in 1970. So as we say hello again to Jeff, Keyshawn, and Mel. Mel, there's going to be a lot going on in the NFC East in those first 2 rounds alone. So who could be the best setup in the future after this draft?
Kelsey, I think it's the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants. Why? Because they still have the Eagles' 2 first-round picks. They're already set up for 2023 already. Now you have a pick at 15 and 18. Do you even try to get more capital ready for next year when there's a big quarterback year forthcoming? And then they think about the Giants at 5 and 7. Do you get Ike Ekwonu or Evan Neal to help the line? And then do you go 7 and maybe deal that pick, or do you use it for a defensive player? We know all eyes are on Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts. They have to show that they're the right man for the job. But you also have a great quarterback class next year led by Bryce Young, Alabama, C.J. Stroud, Ohio State. Do you set yourself up for next year as the Eagles already have? Do you do that even a little more with those two teams come draft day?
Okay, Jeff, let's move over to the Cowboys. And Jerry said they would be open to moving up. Have we ever heard that before? Do you see this happening?
Every single year, Jerry Jones makes very clear that he is willing to trade up in the NFL draft. And honestly, though, when you look at his history, you do start to believe him. He has traded up. He has traded down. He traded down to get Frederick. He traded up to get guys like Dez Bryant, Sean Lee, Claiborne. He's done this before. But let me tell you something. Last year, he decided to stay put, and he missed out on all the cornerbacks that everybody thought he should take. For instance, Surtain, he missed out on him. And who did he get? Micah Parsons, the defensive rookie of the year. So maybe Jerry should just stay put, because it seems to have worked out last year. Maybe it'd work out this year as well.
Yeah, and I think when you look at what their needs are, I think the Cowboys felt like they had a richness at certain positions. When you look at the wide receiver position, there's CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, and they like Noah Brown. They, for whatever reason, they feel good about Dalton Schultz at the tight end position. So that skill position group is essentially set for them. If they can get a wide receiver somewhere in the middle of the rounds, they'll certainly do that. It's about the edge rusher for them, trying to replace Randy Gregory, looking at that. Maybe an offensive line position because Connor Williams leaves and Lyle Collins goes to Cincinnati after being released. Their secondary is a major need for them, in my opinion. They've got to get help back there, because in the National Football League, teams are playing with trips with three or four wide receivers. You need three or four defensive backs to be able to cover down, including at the safety spot. So it wouldn't be a shock to me if they tried to go after like a guy like Hamilton out of Notre Dame. If he starts to slip right there, Mel, all of a sudden they take a chance to go up just slightly a bit to get that guy.
Great point, Key. He could be there at 11, so you're right. They could go up to get Kyle Hamilton, who we thought would be the first, second, or third player taken in this draft, or Derek Stingley Jr., who I thought could be the first, second, or third player taken in this draft. Obviously, the injury affected that, but if he starts getting into that 10 to 15 range, here's a lockdown corner opposite Diggs that you need to help that defense dramatically. I've taken Arnold Ebikadi from Penn State as a pass rusher, but to go up into that, say, 12 spot, 13 spot, if he's still there at 14 or 15, something could drop down to 20. I don't, but if he does get into that range, if I'm the Cowboys, I'm aggressively trying to move up to get Derek Stingley Jr.
Yeah, their defense led the NFL last season with 24 takeaways, so getting more defensive players would definitely help, especially some like those. Coming up next, we've got a Friday update on Deebo Samuel wanting out of San Francisco and why Keyshawn thinks the 49ers can replace their star wide receiver. NFL Live is going to the draft. We've got you covered live from Las Vegas beginning April 27th at 4 p.m. Eastern right here on ESPN. Mina Kimes, Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark, Keyshawn Johnson, and more will be together to bring you next-level analysis and the latest news from the 2022 NFL Draft. You're not going to want to miss NFL Live, live from the NFL Draft. And don't forget, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Back with you on NFL Live. And Jeff, take us through some of the top stories right now in the NFL. And let's start with the Bucs. What's going on there?
Yeah, we can do that. And we'll start with Tom Brady. Who else will we be talking about? We're talking about the Bucs. Tom Brady restructuring his 2022 contract today, creating more than $9 million of added salary cap space for Tampa Bay as it gets ready to head into next week's draft. Brady, of course, still scheduled to be a free agent after this next season, so it doesn't affect that at all. This is more about restructuring to allow the Bucs to have some of that cap space. Earl Thomas, you remember his name? Former seven-time Pro Bowl safety, last played for Baltimore in 2019. He'll turn 33 in May. He said today that he wants to resume his NFL career. He texted our Adam Schefter, "I'm ready, I'm in shape, my timing is on point. And I'm proud of that." So we'll see if maybe Earl Thomas can make a comeback in the league. A.J. Brown, a lot of chatter about him being a wide receiver, you know, looking for that money. And also, of course, wonder about whether A.J. Brown could be traded away from Tennessee. The team, though, making very clear this week that they have no plans, no intentions, no desires to trade him. So instead, we hang on. We wait to see about guys like DK Metcalf, A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel. We'll see if there's any movement on those guys as we get closer to the draft. Another player, of course, that we're watching for a potential trade is Baker Mayfield. No comment from the Browns GM when talking about Mayfield, so instead it's basically status quo for now. Certainly we'll keep our eyes on him, but again, the expectation probably is that this could happen after the draft, after teams can solidify their quarterback rooms and know exactly who they have in those QB rooms, whether they draft a player or not.
Jeff, thanks. Know that they made a ton of moves in the offseason. There were also a lot of moves made in the NFC West, a hectic offseason. Three teams from the division were, of course, in the playoffs last year, including the defending champs. They signed six-time All-Pro linebacker Bobby Wagner and wide receiver Allen Robinson this offseason, as well as giving Matthew Stafford a four-year extension. But the Rams did lose Von Miller. How about the Cardinals? Things are interesting there when Kyler Murray scrubbed the Cardinals from his Instagram account after the team's early playoff exit. Murray entering the final year of his rookie deal, seeking an extension. And then in a blockbuster trade, the Seahawks sent Russell Wilson to the Broncos for a significant package of players and picks that include two first rounders. There's also been speculation about star receiver DJ Metcalf. And how about this story? Jeff Darlington broke the news this week that star wide receiver Deebo Samuel has requested a trade from the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo could also be on his way out of San Francisco, but the 49ers have not found a trade partner yet. So, Jeff, we come back to you for the latest on Deebo Samuel. What have you heard?
Well, nothing new at all right now, in fact, and that is actually somewhat newsworthy in itself because we continue to know that the 49ers really don't want to trade Deebo Samuel. They've made it very clear that they want to keep this player. They understand his value to the team. Deebo Samuel, though, remaining with his feet in the ground on this, he wants to be moved out of San Francisco to another squad. So the thing that we have to keep in mind here is that in the days leading up to the draft, inside of a week now, that will prove to be perhaps the most important time if Deebo Samuel is going to be traded before the start of the season. That being because right now we know exactly what teams have in terms of draft capital. We know where their picks are. After this week, any trade that happens is sort of foreshadowing. For instance, we won't know until after this coming season where teams will be picking in next year's draft. So for right now, the most value that the 49ers can get, the most transparent value, would be trading Deebo Samuel this week before next Thursday.
And I think they should trade him, though, Jeff, not because he can't play football or anything like that. It's because he has maximum value, like you speak to. And in the end, I'm still puzzled as to why you want to be traded. You accounted for almost 1,800 yards of their offense. We certainly know from a financial standpoint you deserve every single dime that you get, that you're supposed to get. I just don't understand why all of a sudden he wants to be traded when, in fact, the 49ers are willing to pay him. Now, whatever that is, I don't know, Jeff. Is it we're going to pay you like a running back slash tight end, or are we going to play you like an outside receiver versus a slot receiver, or are we going to play the Jimmy Graham game that the New Orleans Saints played with him when he was detached from the formation? They didn't want to pay him as a receiver. They elected to try and pay him as a tight end. So that thing kind of got tricky for them. I just don't know. And the reason I say you trade him is because you need to get back in the draft with some picks. And maybe the New York Jets, right? They tried to go after Tyreek Hill. Maybe that situation worked perfect. Robert Saleh was there. There's a relationship with the 49ers. You know, you look at Mike LaFleur. He was there in San Francisco. So he certainly would know how to use Deebo, and Deebo can get his money.
Well, Key, when you say I don't know, to be very clear, nobody does. At this point in time, Deebo, when I talked to him the other day, he made very clear, look, I want to be out. He did not want to get into specifics as to why he wants to be moved. And he would like to keep those things private at this point. I understand that that's going to create some very complicated conversations on the outside because, of course, we're all sitting here saying, well, why? And what is it that the 49ers are doing that isn't making you happy? And is there anything they can do to repair this? To be very clear, the 49ers have known about this for some time, and they have been trying to find a way to keep Deebo and so far have failed. So this is already gone down a road, a pretty distant road. So now we'll find out if, in fact, it can be remedied. Yeah.
You know, Kelsey, I've been around this league for a very long time. And whenever a player asks to be traded, he's going to get traded because you don't want a disruption in that locker room and uncomfortable people.
So, Mel, if that does happen, like Keyshawn says, where could you see him going?
Kelsey Key had it with the Jets. I think the Jets make the most sense. Kansas City, I'm not trading him to Green Bay. This is a superstar that with you turning over the reins to Trey Lance, you're taking away this weapon in Deebo Samuel. It's risky, it's dangerous, but this is a strong wide receiver class. Not as strong at the top, though, as last year's.
Speaking of trading for Deebo, guys, we've got time for one more thing. Chiefs GM Brett Veach was asked which player the Chiefs might trade for pre-draft this year after making trades for Orlando Brown and Frank Clark in recent years. Take a listen.
A couple of years ago, it was Frank Clark. Last year, it was Orlando Brown. Who's it going to be?
Deebo Samuel. Yeah.
Guys, what do we,
well,
I mean?
Might be a draft pick or two. Might have just cost them a draft pick or two.
Jeff?
I love this, by the way. I'll be covering the Chiefs in the NFL draft, and I love chaos. You guys know that. I would love to hear all of a sudden that the Chiefs have traded their 29th and 30th pick to get Deebo Samuel and extend him to replace Tyreek Hill. Can you imagine Deebo Samuel with Patrick Mahomes? I would love to see it.
But you didn't want to pay Hill, but you're going to pay Deebo. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
We will see how it all plays out. 6 days away from the NFL draft. As mentioned, you'll be with the Chiefs. And, of course, Keyshawn and Mel will be covering the draft extensively as well. We will see you guys next week when it is officially draft week.